This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 539, recorded October 4th. October!
Oh, arg.
Arg.
It's Halloween time.
4th, 2017. I'm Brian Kilby. That was Diecast.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. That was not Matt. Continues not to be Matt. Still not Matt.
No, it most certainly was
there
not.
There you go. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Well, see, Matt's ruined it now because I was going to do that, but he's stolen it out from under me. That's why you need to put me higher on the list than everybody else, as it should be, rightfully.
Okay. What do you think, Rob? Jeez.
Not much today. Kind of pacey, but...
Me too. I've got the con crud.
I'm hoping I don't have anything, but there is a cold going through the house, so who even knows?
Rob, have you been on the Benadryl?
No, not lately.
I've been on the NyQuil. It's pretty awesome. Don, how's it going?
Pretty good. Sort of dreading going back to work, but...
No, I've been back to work. You have the con crud?
No, surprisingly not. I think this makes up for last year after BotCon when we all had it, except for Matt, and we all felt like death warmed over.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hey, so it's October. That means this is the month that we celebrate our anniversary.
Which anniversary is that, Brian?
This will be... We're going to celebrate it a little early because it doesn't fall on a Wednesday. Next week, we'll celebrate our 18th anniversary.
18?
In a week, our RFC can vote in the United States.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I know, right?
And go to the local convenience store and buy cigarettes.
You know, RFC does not smoke. RFC does not condone or endorse.
Yeah, we don't endorse smoking.
Yeah, don't. None of that. And to celebrate, we have a contest. I still, you know, at some point I'm going to spring on you guys the other contest because I wanted to do a second one. I just haven't figured out what to do yet. But, oh God, Diecast. I'm not going to comment on what he just put in the chat.
And besides, Diecast, depends what state you're in.
Oh God. That was great. So, if you go to follow us on Twitter at TF Radio and go to twitter.com/TF Radio and look at the pinned tweet. Retweet that. Make sure you follow us. And you are entered into our 18th anniversary contest, and you could win an autographed Titans Return RC. Autographed by who? The Headmaster Don. And it's the best autograph ever.
It's actually my signature that I've used for a very long time at an old site, and I figured it's perfect for the packaging that for the characters inside. So
it made my day, and it made me wish that I'd kept one for myself so you could sign it.
I'll tell you what, Brian. You know, next time if you can find one at Toys R Us when they go live tomorrow, you can. I'll sign up for you.
I would love that. And genuinely, it was awesome. So, but we are giving away that next week. We'll announce it live on the show. So on October 11th. So TFCon was this past week, and I guess we have a spot in the show specifically for it.
Not TFCon in general, just kind of the result of one TFCon.
Let's talk about that real quick then, before we get into the did anybody get anything section of the show. So it was a lot of fun. I go to conventions to hang out and see people, and it was a blast. I got to, for the first time ever, I got to meet my buddy Alex. A lot of people out there may remember him from nearly 20 years ago. On Alt Toys Transformers, Alex J33106. And I don't know why I would expect anybody to remember anything from Alt Toys Transformers 20 years ago, but some of you do.
Because we do.
And that's, I love you, but for that. So, Alex, one of my dearest friends, love the guy. We were super tight for a time. He was one of the founders of RFC, and I never met him in person, but I got to meet he and his brother Eddie. They were great. Had a lot of fun finally meeting Alex, which was fantastic. Was going to meet my buddy Chad, also from Alt Toys Transformers, Chad Young. People out there may actually be familiar with his website. He's on Twitter. It's horrormoviebarbecue.com, but that's his website. longtime Transformers fan, did not get to meet up with Chad, so it was kind of sad. But had a lot of fun. We were on the Transformers podcast panel. Got to hang out with these guys. Got to finally meet Jason Kirk. That was fun. What did you guys think?
I got to meet and hang out with a lot of people. It was really awesome show. We hung out with Blade Raider and his brother John a good bit over the weekend.
That was fun.
Jason Kirk, got to meet him for, you know, the first time in person, and hung out with him all weekend. Saw Dan Oprod, you know, several times over the weekend. Always great to hang out with him.
Turbo Blue Street.
I only got to see him there once, but all sorts of awesome people at the show. It was great.
30 was there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm losing track of who was there and who wasn't. So there are a lot of people there. So I got to meet a lot of people, came up and introduced themselves, so they listened to the show. Always love when that happens.
I went through the custom class on Friday, so I got to spend a lot of time with Counterpunch and Razorclaw from the Twin Cast and Robbie Musso. So, and they're all great guys. So had a great time.
What about you, Don?
Oh, again, seeing everybody, seeing again, John and David stayed with me, which was nice to see them again. JT Hogg stayed with us. Great seeing him again. Seeing all of y'all, of course. And I'm going to thank everybody that came up and told me that they liked the show and that they were glad to meet me. Because honestly, I really never thought I was that popular, or at least that even people even knew me that well, honestly. And everyone says, hey, you're Don from RFC, and oh, it's great to see you, and I watched the shows, and it's like, it made me feel really good that, you know, we're making a difference in people's, in their free time, that they can enjoy listening to the shows, and that means a lot. It was really nice to say, hey, aren't you Massey's owner? You know, and not get recognized like that. But it was great seeing everybody. A lot of people shook my hands and was glad to meet me, glad to meet the RFC crew, love the show. So that was just, it was really nice to meet all the fans that we have out there. So that was just awesome.
What about you, Diecast? What do you think?
I thought it was a great show. Definitely had a lot of fun, and a lot of people. There are too many people to even mention that, said hi to, and got a good amount of swag from the convention too, which was awesome.
Yeah. So you missed Cards Against Humanity. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Blade Raider.
We played for like horrible. Oh my God. So offensive.
There's a lot of horribleness packed in that package.
But between Blade Raider and JT Hogg, I don't know which one of them is actually worse.
JT was only the worst at pronouncing words.
No, he had more cards than anybody. He had
the weird thing is, when I left, because I was running on empty, Matt had just won his first card. And apparently he won the game with, what, 15 cards?
I don't think he can. He basically ran the board. I don't know that he...
I did, but, I mean, it doesn't count because half the people had left and gone to sleep by that point because it was like 1 in the morning. So, you know, the competition lessened over time. So, yes, I won, but it's a technicality. I mean...
You did? Did you win?
No. Yeah, a win's a win.
Yeah, there you go. I know it's Kim's favorite thing. Cards Against Humanity. She actually, on the way back, she was like, well, when's the next convention? Can we just like get together without a convention? I think she really wants to like do something where we all just get together and play Cards Against Humanity.
RFC Con.
Yeah, but she doesn't want a convention involved. She just wants us to
hang out. Well, it wouldn't be a real convention.
Call it that. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, like she...
If the RFC Cards Against Humanity Invitational and nobody's invited but us...
We should do that. Like, no joke. She really wants
tournament.
We should make that happen. John popped online. I tried to add him so we could talk to him about it, but he disappeared. So, John was there, which I think that was John's first TFCon.
Yeah, it was John's first TFCon, and I got to spend a lot of time with him over the weekend, and it was great.
Yeah, John and Jamie are phenomenal.
He's just
people.
An awesome human being. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both great. We got to hang out at the mall. We got lost. I went to an Amazon stand-up kiosk, which was neat for me. I spent $5 on an HDMI cable and got like a $6 bag that they just put it in. It was really nice. It was really good.
Yeah, we didn't get any SNES classics. So.
XV did.
Yeah. And John and David did on the way up, too. Now, when a mall has, beside the Build-A-Bear workshop, has a Steinway piano store, you know you're in a really upscale mall.
Hey, John. Go ahead.
Sorry. The Victoria's Secret on the exit that we came in.
What'd you think about that one, Don?
It was this huge.
What did I think
mess.
About what?
Don thought the Victoria's Secret was really
Don about what he thought about Victoria's Secret.
No, I'm just saying that was the entrance we came in, and it was like three stories with electronic billboards. It's just like the mall was too classy for me, you know. I did go to the Disney store and saw some stuff that I wanted, but of course they had no Disney afternoon stuff, of course, because why would they?
Why would they? Hey, John, what did you think about TFCon? That was your first one, right?
Yeah, it was my first one. It was fine. It was fine. I'll go again.
Good. Because
I have no other choice. So I would have to go to the one convention that represents anything close to what I'm used to for the last 17 years.
Yeah, as much as I appreciate what Hasbro was doing with HasCon, again, it's more of a family. God, I want to say family so bad.
Family.
TFCon is really more along the vein of what I want to do. And like I said during the podcast panel Friday night, for me, I go to see people. It's a family reunion, and that's what I get out of TFCon. It's not what I get off or get out of. It's not what I get out of HasCon. So.
Hey, you know what? The heart and soul, Don will agree with this. The heart and soul of any Transformers convention, like it or not.
Dealer room.
So if you don't have that rocking, you're never gonna get there with a large chunk of fans.
That dealer room was rocking.
I for the most part, skipped it. I went in a couple times. Didn't do anything for me. Go ahead.
I would say it's probably for the best that you skipped it early Saturday, because from about 9 when it opened until about 11:30, you didn't want to try and get in the dealer room. You could not move. Like, the hotel was great. Everything in the surrounding area is magnificent. I mean, fantastic food. But the hotel itself, the room that they had set up for the dealer room is just a bit too small for the amount of people that showed up for TFCon this year.
I would like to have a bigger dealer room than what we had. I feel like Charlotte had a bigger dealer room. I feel like Chicago had a bigger dealer room. And I know
I don't think Charlotte or Chicago had the turnout that this TFCon did, though.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Jolanta has a bigger dealer room, and it has two of them.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Jolanta's dealer space was spread out across like 5 rooms and 6 hallways also. So,
yeah, I don't know that has a bigger dealer room. I think the room we were in was bigger. If they ever wanted to use that location again, I think they could. They need to take that empty room where there were some round tables set up and maybe make that like an artist alley. Yeah. And then that'll make a little bit more room in the dealer room, and maybe do what they do at Chicago and put the stuff that's on display in a different area.
Yeah, move the third party detolfs to the other room. Maybe not the artist alley, because they get a lot of they need the foot traffic to be as successful, because what they're selling is a lot lower cost per item than a lot of vendors. So they need the foot traffic of people to get, you know, to help boost their sales. But definitely the guests
could probably be moved, though, because I mean, the guests are going to have their own built in foot traffic. You can put them literally anywhere you want at the show.
Yeah.
Right. And so them and the third party detolf displays could be in that other room.
Are you saying the lounge, John? Is that what the room you're talking about?
Yeah, the lounge, or you know, maybe just whatever was available, and then just make sure that there's enough stuff around the door so everyone knows what's in there, and so the guests, the artists, don't feel like they've been relegated to a secondary status when it's just trying to be a little more creative on the space. That's all.
Cool. I had a lot of fun. I would go back to Washington. Easy drive. God, it was an easy drive.
The only thing is that's really not a, I mean, that's a good area for vacation, but that's not an area you want to live in on a regular basis and try to eat out, because all the places were really nice, but it was definitely more of a, we're on vacation, let's try something new, and not a, oh, let's go here for our regular nightly dinner or something.
I don't know what you mean.
It was a little more upscale than what I
mean. It was expensive.
I didn't think it was that expensive. I thought there was plenty of options around it that were
reasonable. I mean, it was fine. It's just, if you're on a budget, that's not someplace you can eat it. You're not going to be able to eat out as much if you're there on a budget.
Yeah, I figure if you're going to live there, you can afford to eat out there for the most part.
Boy, that's true.
Yeah, because it wasn't like the Mongolian barbecue or whatever we went to at Jacksonville expensive. So
we looked up some housing, and for a mere $250,000, a home that had about 850 square feet
nice.
Could be yours in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's weird is one of the guy that was with us, John, that was helping us with the area, I don't remember his name.
Bill.
Bill. He said this was the more reasonable area. The really expensive stuff was a couple of miles away.
Yeah.
Probably closer to that mall.
Yeah. So anybody get anything this week, Matt?
Oh, I got lots of stuff. Okay. So, like I said, I went to the custom class on Friday, so I got a MMC Surficus Perminion and then proceeded to slather it in paint. So, really nice figure. I didn't transform it because we took it straight out of the box and disassembled it to paint, but it's really nice. I met up on Thursday night with Grim Loctimus at Chrome Tyranno on Twitter and got one of his custom painted getaways. He is a much better customizer than I am, by the way. It's fantastic. Looks much, much better than the stock Hasbro version.
Matt, before you go on to the next thing, John is asking in the chat how many hours it took you to paint.
Okay, so I took an entirely white figure and painted it entirely black, except for the white arms and legs that were originally dark blue. So you can imagine, you know, three coats of white paint later. So the custom class ran from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, God.
I took a little break, about an hour, because after you get everything painted, it suggested, you know, to leave everything dry for an hour before you reassemble it. But yeah, I was in there for almost the entirety of that time. It was not a quick job, but it was fun. So I went by Captured Prey, and Orson hooked me up with with some more.
Yeah, I was there when that happened. Did we lose Matt?
TF Comics was just too much for his.
Yeah.
Well, at least he got the Sharktacons out before he died.
Yeah.
And, as it should be.
And his house was hit by a meteor.
Titans Return, yeah. Sharktacons. So I'm up to 30 now.
I wonder how much lag there's going to be.
Yeah, he's trying to catch up to Rick and his army of sweeps.
It's choking on all those Sharktacons.
Yeah.
Not enough bandwidth.
Am I back?
You're back.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I could hear you guys. I didn't drop out. I don't know what that was.
Well, you're frozen on your Sharktacons for a minute there.
It was
so,
fitting.
It's
kind of nice, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm up to 30 now. So
halfway to your goal, right?
Maybe.
Did you get a Takara one?
It's in the
mail. Are you getting a Takara one?
It's in the mail.
Yeah. Well, now you're at an odd number, so you gotta get
futuristic
more.
Shark to robot.
Well, there he went again.
No, no.
He went to Target just now to look for more.
I don't realize I got the open and play Galvatron.
Me too. I'll
be back in a second.
Yeah. Everybody got that thing.
Just about.
Yeah, once the bill broke the ice, everybody was like running for the hills.
Anything else, Matt?
Am I on or am I frozen?
You're there.
Currently, okay. You're on.
Yeah. I say it's not dropping off on my end. I can hear you guys perfectly. But Yeah, so I got the Open Play Galvatron, which is basically just a large Titans Return Galvatron with all the third-party stuff stripped off, or the Triple Changer stuff stripped off of it. It's great. I really like it. I got the Shattered Glass Tarn, and love him. He's great with the Autobot face mask.
Oh, we lost Matt again. I'm kidding. We didn't.
No, see, I would believe you if you keep saying that, because that's just the way my internet works.
My internet's been terrible lately.
I got the PC-15 upgrade kit for the Genrai Prime, which comes with a little Power Master and the head that you can leave on to transform.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, the batteries it comes with have already died, though.
He's already bought more
for the light-up eyes.
I mean, technically, they say the batteries they come with are just for, like, testing and demonstration purposes, so.
Yeah. So, I got a little Iron Factory Delta Magnus.
I got to feel that.
Oh, cool.
It's kind of funky.
Yeah, this is one of their older figures. Their newer stuff feels way better to me. This is okay, but it feels like they've come a long way from this at the same time.
They're pretty, though.
So which is better, that or Titanium Ultra Magnus?
I have never messed with Titanium Ultra Magnus, but I mean, I know Diecast loves his so much. I got to imagine, you know, the award goes to that. But you talk about pretty. I got the blue and white Guardian Robot Encore of Omega Supreme. And I've wanted this thing for, God, years and years and years.
And you got back.
This was $200.
It's not bad.
Ow. That's not bad.
Yeah. Totally worth it. Just fantastic. I am so happy with it.
Yeah. I've always wanted that myself. It's a beautiful piece.
And that's what I got this week.
Nice. Don, what about you?
Okay. Starting off with thanks again to JT Hall. I missed every Overlord in the room. It's just both him and Blade found Overlords, but they bought the only one at the tables they were at. So they had, everywhere I went, I could not find one. He actually found one at Toy Dojo that apparently, I'm guessing it was brought back by a customer, because mine does have the same tail fins on both arms. So they're inverted from each other. But thanks to JT and them having it, the defective one in stock, I got it for $35. I'm really not going to complain with an Overlord. So that was that.
And the only difference that defect makes is that on one side, the slightly hollower face is just facing outward, right?
Yeah, I'm facing up in jet mode. Yeah, exactly. So that's
no big deal.
Yeah, that's it. Not a TFCon item, but what I ordered after Chris and Rob broke the news of Cogman possibly not existing anymore for us, I went on eBay. I found a Cogman. I got it for $35 shipped. I don't have to worry about it.
Don, I could have got you one for that shipped.
He wanted it to come with all its wheels. Yeah.
Well, I have plenty coming. I'm gonna have Cogmans out my ears.
I'm glad you went with the ears. I was sure you were going somewhere else with that.
Yes. I picked up a KO. This is a KO of the Mock Baron. From one of the Brave series, Thunder Baron. I've never seen it in this magenta before, and I believe it's very pretty. And I believe it still will combine with Thunder Baron. I'm sorry, not Thunder Baron. Mock Baron. Because all the connector points are still there. That was $2.
So it's like a G2 Mock Bison then,
kind of sorta. for $3, I got a Bone White Poppy. Spacey.
Oh, nice.
Mine has yellow aged. This is just immaculate.
It's a knockoff. $3. Do you think?
No, it's Poppy. It's Poppy.
Go put it under a sheet, Don.
Yeah, I don't want to need to. Thanks to P-Y'all. Y'all know that I got his Devil Stinger about a month or so ago. His came with a defective headmaster, so he worked with TF Source, and thanks to Make Toys, and I now have a fixed. Proper headmaster. So again, thanks to PL and TF Source.
All right. Cool.
$15. I rebought Armada Tidal Wave.
Yay!
Why?
Does it have its missiles? Because they're not loaded.
Yeah, they're in the bag with the headmaster.
Cool.
I kind of wanted the Energon version that I saw both of these years ago.
Oh, you saw it.
Figured, But I said, for $15, with the missiles and ramjet, I'll take it. I'll get it back for that.
Okay, I just bought
Common. So I'm kind of happy with that.
Why did you sell your Armada and Energon Tidal Waves in the first place, Don?
It was right after Mom passed away, and I was sort of having a knee-jerk reaction to sell, and that just was some of the first things I grabbed and said, I don't care about this anymore, sell it. For $2, I got Impossible Toys Wasp.
I'm sorry.
And it's worth $2, but not much more. But it, I at least have one of that mold. So, and I have one of the more unique color ones, so that's fine. I picked up this guy for retail.
Oh, I saw that
Ramhorn. So I got very lucky. That kind of makes up for not finding Misfire and
Shuffler,
Twin Twist, and Twin Twist. So I found a Ramhorn.
Oh no, I found plenty of Shufflers. I could not find a Ramhorn to save my life. Senior.
Picked up. I worked a deal with Agabus, and I picked up my friend Fred a Trax because he wanted another MP, and that was the best one that I could get for him on his budget.
Trax,
but I
also picked was the best MP.
Well, that must not have been much of a budget.
Did he also
ask you to try to get him a Cloud Rodimus for retail?
No, no. No, I'm saying with the list of what he was missing, everything else was like 90 and above. And Trax was
Bumblebee.
So he has the Bumblebee.
I would have just bought the Bumblebee.
Yep. So I got Eagle Robo.
Did he have Road Rage, or was that too expensive too?
He's already got Road Rage, yeah.
Loud Pedal's all you need, really.
Yeah,
that would be more expensive though.
Yeah,
really?
The cheapest one I saw. Yeah, the lowest one I ever saw was 90 at the show. Yeah. Eagle Robo or Leader One, and Mixer Robo or Blockhead. They didn't have Snoop. I was hoping to get a Snoop, but she sold out first, obviously. But I always love Blockhead, and Leader One's kind of a no brainer on that one.
Which one's Snoop?
The Blackbird SR-71.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the Machine Robo version, but I don't have the new version. And like everyone else, I got Shatterglass Rodimus or Coulter Shadow Ghost and Fire Guts Tarn. I have no connection to the character of Tarn, but I like the colors and I like the transformation. So he's going to go beside Impactor on the shelf of I don't care about the I don't know what they're from and I don't care. They're nice toys.
and orange.
And last two things on the way, I found Scorn at a Walmart.
Cool.
First release I've seen in the wild. Other than Eric Crownover and I did split a case, and he got the Scorn, and I got the Nitro Zeus. But I thought this is kind of nice, and who knows when I'll see it again. And thanks to Diecast, my last item that I got was Rensora. The Wajang Voyager upscale that I originally hadn't planned on getting, but after seeing the paint job.
God in heaven. It's huge.
It's bigger than the leader. But yeah. it's the paint
That's
job.
That's bigger than my nephew right now.
But with the paint job, the sword, the wash of colors on there, because in some of these areas it looks like there's a paint wash on it. I mean, this is Wajang, and Wajang does really good work. And when I saw him, Diecast had an extra, I had to get it for the collection. So now I have the Voyager, the Leader, and the Rendoza. And that's it.
Chris, did you get anything?
No, all my stuff is going to start coming tomorrow, conveniently enough.
Diecast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got a... Tarngerine, or RFC Tarn, as I like to call him.
Yeah, no, Tarngerine kind of works.
It does. I'll give him that.
And I love it. I love him. And
I just wish he had more of a real face under the Autobot face instead of like a Shockwave face.
Well, he's got the face he's supposed to have. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He also does come with a Decepticon mask as well as the Autobot one, if anybody was wondering.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he comes with both. But the Decepticon one is orange also.
Yeah. Well, red.
Because it's a shattered glass Decepticon.
Red. Don got the best thing in the show.
Yeah, I mean, look how bone white that is.
That's amazing.
It's just gorgeous. Yeah. Sorry, Doc. Can I ask, go ahead.
And then I also got this I did not even know was out. I mean, there's so many upgrade kits nowadays, but this is the upgrade kit for Defensor, the Combiner Wars Defensor, and it has a ton of pieces. It's Transform Dreamwave, and it's TCW is Transform Dream. I'm not sure why it's called TCW, but their name's Transform Dream World.
Well, so CW for Combiner Wars, obviously.
Yeah. So, but I'm looking, I didn't get a chance to put it on yet, but I'm looking forward to it because they have two kits out so far, and in the display case, they also had a kit for Computron and a kit for Superion, and they looked really nice. So hopefully it's not a pain to put these on, and I'm going to get all four. I'm going to have really nice looking Hasbro Combiner Wars figures just with some add-on kits. So, and I'm okay with that.
What was the price point on that?
They run about $40.
Okay, so comparable to the Perfect Effect upgrades.
Yeah, but this has a little bit more than the Perfect Effects upgrade kit, I think. So, I also got Cross Dimensions Megatron, which is their Rider Despotron. Yeah, the reason I got this.
He should really stage the stuff closer to his desk.
I know. I have all mine sitting right here.
It's as close as I can get it, actually. I got the...
Striker Manus,
the Optimus Prime, as well as Jason Kirk and I. We bought these at the same time. It was the only place that actually had them. And we both wanted this color and not the Striker Noir, which does have extra weapons, and a lot of people enjoy that. But I wanted the Optimus Prime color, as well as Jason Kirk. So actually, thanks to Jason Kirk for letting me know that a vendor actually had this. And I instantly said, let's go. Let's get it right now. I want to get it before it's gone. And in the third party panel, they talked about the Cross Dimensions. There's like a Jetfire one coming out, which I'm like, okay, now if I know they're continuing the line, that's why I got the Rioter Despotron, because I was like, that, you know, it's not just, I was just going to do the Optimus Prime, but now if there's, you know, another one coming out that I want, I kind of want to keep going with the line. And then I also got the black Shattered Glass Rodimus, is what I'm going to call it, the MMC one. That was the show exclusive. I got Overlord that Don got, only mine was in the box. I got it early in the morning, and then I also got Meteor, which I did a review on, which is Make Toys, and it's a good toy. It has a little bit of refinement that could have been done to it. It's not what I would expect from Make Toys, but it's still a decent Starscream, and a decent figure. I'm glad I got it. I'm not regretful about it. But
did you show off Galaxy Meteor? I didn't notice.
Not Galaxy Meteor, just Meteor.
He got
Meteor. He
did get Galaxy Meteor.
Yeah. Galaxy Meteor also. Yeah. And interesting enough, I think the original Starscream was Howling Meteor. They seem to drop the Howling name off of it. Yeah. I have not. It's not on the box, unless I missed it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think when they showed the slides of it at TFCon last year, it was Howling Meteor at that point.
Yeah.
Galaxy Meteor did appear to sell out at the show as well.
Yeah, so when I got a chance to look at Diecast, and I picked it up and fiddled with it, I wasn't that impressed with it. It's okay. It's not... I didn't love it like I thought I would based on what everybody was saying.
Yeah, you said the Galaxy Meteor.
Yeah, and Meteor looks nice, I guess. It's just not something I would buy. Galaxy Meteor is something that I would consider, but I don't want it now.
I also got Slugslinger, so picked that up also early in the morning. Someone grabbed one. There was this one dealer had two, and someone grabbed one, and I was like, oh, I'll take one of those, too.
How much are they selling them for?
$1 million.
I got it at 25. So, not bad. End of the wave, I don't have to worry now.
Compared with trying to track one down for retail, that's not really too bad.
Yeah.
Rob, did you get anything? Oh, wait. He's not
I'm
done.
Not done.
Damn it, Diecast!
I also got the Legends or Transformer, Takara. Yeah, Takara Legends. So there's that with the sweep head.
Is it Nawsom?
I don't know if it's Nawsom or if it's Sweeptacular. I also got Cup, which he is amazing. He's got his little Target Master, and his colors are perfect. Exactly what Hasbro should have done. And I also got the Hot Rod Titans Return Takara Tomy 1. So, with the clear chest that I even forgot was a thing, because it really, like, we knew about these for, what, 6-7 months now? It feels like we knew about these for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually the lead time, about 6 months. Because, like, we've got the solicits for March's stuff for next year, and, you know, that was in September, so...
Yeah. And then, from Captured Prey... I also got the open and play Galvatron to review. I haven't done the review yet. One thing I noticed that a lot of people are forgetting is that you can unplug the barrel of the cannon and plug that in directly if you don't want to have that, like the stock.
The housing assembly.
Yeah, and you can just plug that into the bottom of the cannon. So,
oh, nice.
Which is really cool. So I'm going to be doing a review of this for Captured Prey, and I want to thank Captured Prey for giving me the opportunity to review this.
Very cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm done.
Rob?
Not a damn thing.
Okay.
I will have Cup next week, but that's
yeah, try again next week.
So I got the open and play Galvatron, which I like. I got the asterisk mode or whatever the hell it's called. And it's okay, I guess. It doesn't do a lot for me. I'm not that impressed with it. I think I'd like it better if it was like the mold holds no. There's nothing particular about the mold that I really like. If it were the original colors, which I don't have, and I should have gotten that instead, which they didn't have it. But if it was the actual Tarn colors, I would like it a lot better because it actually looks like Tarn. As it is, it doesn't look like anything. And that... I got Diecast bullied me into buying it. Or maybe it was Matt. Somebody bullied me into buying it, so...
It's RFC Tarn.
So, I mean, it's nice looking, but it's... Yeah. yesterday I picked up, because it's so different than the other release, I picked up the Legends class Cosmos. I think there are like three differences.
About, yeah.
Yeah. But I got one thing, though, that I don't know if Don's heard about this one, but I learned about and picked up a Death's Head 2, which is the Marvel Legends figure. So that's pretty awesome.
You made me switch Windows and Amazon Japan just for that.
So, yeah, Marvel Legends Death's Head 2. That's all I got.
You got the open and play Galvatron 2, didn't you?
Yeah, I said that first.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention because you were talking.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I wish, you know, I like the fact that it was released without packaging or instructions, because honestly, that's just a waste of money.
No, I mean, you're right, because I remember, like, during the 3H BotCon days, like, one of the things they said was the packaging is the most expensive part of this.
Yeah, it's up
there. And you got to figure that's like, it may not hold true on the scale that, like, normal Hasbro stuff does, but at the third-party scale, you got to assume that's still a big part of their cost.
Yeah, it was $50. I mean, that's not bad. So for the size of it, it's very much comparable to a Hasbro product in a lot of ways. I mean, the plastic's not exactly the same, so I don't know that it would survive a drop test, but it wasn't bad.
Oh, so is that their gimmick with the open and play name, that there's no packaging with the stuff?
Yeah, you just...
There can be packaging, but there's usually no instructions.
On the Springer, there's a QR code that goes to a video, and PL did the video for that Springer on how to transform it. So apparently they're reaching out to the fandom to do the videos Snap. For their products.
Are you sure you're talking about open and play, or are you talking about like the Moss toys.
Moss did that with the
I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry. I got my company.
There's like no QR code on this at all.
I'm sorry. I got my folks backwards. I'm sorry.
Well, with 5,000 third-party companies, Don, I don't know how you could do that.
It's okay. I don't think we have to worry about that too much longer.
So, well, okay. Let's go ahead and jump to This Week in History, and I think we disagree on that a little bit. This Week in History, 1992, the Headmaster's episode, The Dormant Volcano Erupts Again, airs in Malaysia. It's phenomenal. And we are, gosh, how many episodes? What episode number is that? That is episode 12, catching up to it. So we'll see how that
goes. I didn't see an episode of What's Wrong with the Headmasters posted this week, though.
I have had no free time, so I'm...
That's hardly an excuse.
Yeah, well, I should have it up Friday or Saturday. This is the one featuring Chris Triplett.
So okay.
This one will be fun. 2008. I remember this one well. It hurts me that I never got this.
I was thinking of you when I picked this one.
The Fun Pub Club Exclusive Seacons Begin to Ship. Such a beautiful set.
Yeah.
Never picked it up.
And I just remember the whole, you know, try harder kind of thing. And it was just like, really?
Try harder? What do you mean?
Yeah, it was right about that time, right before it was released, they were saying at BotCon they were trying to find some way to get these released, and someone in the back shouted, "Try harder," and that just
I remember that.
Yeah, that sort of created issues. It's like it's not what they were doing wasn't good enough, so you know, just try harder.
Because anytime you criticized Fun Pub, it created issues.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the big item for this week. Now, Chris, this is an article that you wrote in response to the third-party panel at TFCon. Go ahead and tell us your thoughts, and then I think I have some thoughts on that as well that may be a little different.
I will try to keep this short, because, I mean, you know, Herald of T-Formers can read the article for the long form on it, but there was barely anything new shown at the third-party panel from the slides I saw. Most of the new that was shown was, like, concept art renders, not really, like, physical prototypes or anything. But, like, just that the majority of the stuff that has either been announced a year ago already, some of it's out, some of it is exclusives not for this continent. It seems to me like third party has slowed way the hell down. They don't have as much to show at, you know, basically their main event for the year, part two, because there's Toronto, but I don't think Toronto really had anything new either, did it?
Nope.
And I think it was John who tweeted out right after that there was booing after the panel was over.
Yep. I participated in that. I think I did. Maybe I didn't.
So, I mean, like, they're just, to me, this looked like the worst TFCon third-party panel I can ever remember seeing. And I feel like it might be a sign that we are on the downward end of third-party as we know it. I think they've spread out too thin, but in too much of a, like, single-minded concentration of, you know, let's do masterpiece, let's all do the same character masterpiece at the same time, let's do combiners over and over again. It's all just going down one track, and it's just eating and eating away at its own market until they're getting to a point where they can't even have multiple things going at the same time to have stuff to show at their convention, that one of two times a year they actually get to get a bunch of people in a room to show off. Here's the new stuff you can expect. Okay, where is it? So I called the article Unlicensed Third Party, The Death Spiral. That's my opinion personally on that. You know, you can find it on T-Formers. Go definitely check that out for my full-length thoughts, which are probably more well-constructed than me trying to recite it off the top of my head.
So I think basically a couple things. I don't think third party's dying. I think it's correcting course. I think the bubble kind of burst.
Yeah.
I think things are sort of readjusting, because there's an argument to be made. And this is what Bobby Skullface said at TFCon, right? We talked to him about it. He said he thinks that the third-party companies aren't showing off their wares because they don't want people to steal the ideas. And I think there's some validity to that. But I think that's a very small factor in this. I really think that things are just slowing down because the stuff isn't just, it's, they've run out of ideas. Most everything that can be done has been done. I don't think that it's a death spiral. I just think that it's the market's readjusting. It's kind of like, I don't know, TV. Back in the day, there were three TV channels, basically. And you could have like a 50% market share pretty easily because there was no other, nothing else out there. But now you have all these people making stuff. You can't necessarily sell enough of it to do that much, to do that well. So you have to kind of reapproach your you have to re-level your expectations on what your return is going to be, what you can make, what you can do. I think they're slowing down. I think some of them are probably going out of business, but I don't think the market itself is in a death spiral necessarily. I think it's in a just a readjustment period. Diecast, what do you think?
I kind of think it might be a little bit of everything that we're seeing. We did see some new Make Toys Cross Dimension stuff, which I talked about in the third party panel, or at least it was new. I thought it was new. But I think that's kind of hard to copy, because it's their own sort of design aesthetic on that. I think a lot of things like even MMC with their, Cosmos, you know, that looks almost done. And we only learned about that a short time ago.
True.
Fans Project, we haven't seen anything. They're on hiatus. Apparently they're not dead from the rumors that I've heard.
Oh, well, I have something to say on that when you get a moment.
But they're, you know, busy doing other things is basically what I was told. And then where was I going with it? Fans Toys, as some people would say, Fans Toys has shown so much and they have so much that still needs to come out that it's kind of like they can't show off anything else because they've got like five or six things that still need to come out. And, I think they're a company that kind of needs to slow down with their reveals because they need to get product out first.
Yeah, it seems to be, I think, it's not just a matter of the reveals. It's just the volume of stuff that's coming out seems to have declined quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I think that there's no validity to the idea that it's a death spiral. But I just don't, I'm not going to that same lengths. I'm not jumping to that as far drastic a conclusion.
Yeah, like I said, it's a combination of everything. There are probably smaller companies that, that didn't do that well that aren't going to have anything else to come out. Maybe they're out of ideas. I think the major companies are still going to be around. And I think we are still going to, see stuff and maybe by the next TFCon, we're going to get a lot of reveals because this was a little bit light.
Like, I think I do, to what Bobby said, I do think that if things were healthy, I do think they probably are trying to pull back quite a bit because, as we've joked for like the last 55 years, they're just releasing the same thing, times 10. And part of that is because people have been so free with saying what they're working on. Because it's not like everybody just arrived at Springer. I mean, if that was the case, once in a while, yeah, that's fine, but everybody arrived at Springer, everybody arrived at Dinobots, everybody arrived at Combiners, everybody arrived at, this and that and the other. There's something to that whole too much information thing.
Well, and one big problem I see here is that everybody's like super focused on doing masterpiece stuff, and at some point they're going to wear that market out too.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I want to make a comment on is not on this article, because both Chris and Brian have very valid points, and it's going to be up to the reader to make their own call on that. As far as the TF panel itself, while I understand they had a lot of slides to get through, they blew through the first half or three-fourths of the show very quickly, which I understand because a lot of it was already released or on the cusp of being released or the cup of being released, but
no, Don.
No, but when they got to the stuff that I believe was not that was new that I do not believe we saw at Toronto or TF Nation, when they got to this new stuff, they went through that with the same speed as everything else. And some of the stuff, like this War Within, Magnus is an example. I had no idea who that was, and I was sitting up close. They just mentioned, here's this figure, here's their name for it, and then here's the next slide. And if me sitting within the first 10 rows couldn't tell who that was, I'm sure the people in the back couldn't tell either. And we still finished, now I may be wrong, please correct me if I am, but we still finished about 5 to 10 minutes early, didn't we? You know, before the next panel began. And it just seems like they just kept going and going and going. It's like, wait a minute, this stuff is new. We haven't seen it. At least let us get a look at the slide on what it is. I had to actually go to the room and look at the stuff in the cases because the slides went by so fast and they didn't say anything other than just, here's this, here's this, here's this, to find out what was coming out.
Not to derail here, do you think the crowd response might have been a little bit better if they had not had so much of the already been released stuff, especially like some of those exclusives, if they did not have all those slides in, so they could spend more time on the newer stuff and the little bit that was like brand new reveals?
Right. Yeah, like, probably. Yeah. You know, because, you know, there's stuff that everybody has seen up, you know, stuff that's been out that everybody has seen that's in the dealer room for sale, and there were slides for it. You know, they could have said, okay, there's some stuff here that we're not going to mention. It's in the dealer room for sale. Everybody's already seen it. We're going to start with the stuff that hasn't come out yet or is right on the verge of coming out. And that would have saved a good 5 or 10 minutes right there to give time to the stuff that we hadn't seen before or stuff that might needed pointing out. Because like I said, that War Within Ultra Magnus, I didn't know him from Adam. I had no idea what that character was. And I was sitting within 10 aisles of the front. So that was my one big thing.
So, Matt, at the convention, you very much had some opinions on this, and you wanted to share them on the show, so the floor is yours.
I was not happy with the third-party panel at all. I was actually swearing audibly as I left the room, and the convention organizer heard me. He didn't say anything, because, you know, nice guy.
Colin?
Yeah.
I really like Colin.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
But there was audible booing after the panel, but I'm not so sure it was as the quality of stuff that we had shown, but the fact that so much of it we had seen before, so little of it was new. And I think people were just a little upset that they weren't showing us more. It's not the most slides by far that they've ever had to show us within this hour-long period, but there were still...
At one point, this was 4.
Yes, this was 400. Now, when you throw in all the stuff that we've already seen that we already know about, I mean, you're taking away time from stuff that you could talk up a little bit more to get people excited in upcoming product. Also at the same time, when you're talking about so much stuff, you're getting absolutely no information out. None at all. I mean, there was no energy in this presentation at all. I was literally falling asleep in the crowd.
I'll be honest with you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Lost my train of thought there for a moment.
So let me just say this while you get that back. In the showmanship part, if this were me, I would be dreading it, knowing that I had 400 slides to go through.
Yeah, so that seems kind of like a problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I can't blame them for not having enthusiasm, because I would just be dreading it so bad.
But
how can you build up enthusiasm when you have so much stuff to remember and talk about?
Yeah, and
so at the same time, should there not be a responsibility on the presenter to be like, okay, we're going to curate this down a little bit to actually focus on the newer stuff? We will get as much of the existing stuff here that you want to highlight as possible, but we want to definitely prioritize the newer stuff. So let's get as much of that little, in as possible.
But there was so little new stuff.
It'd be like 5 that slides.
They over padded it with pre-existing stuff. I mean, some of the stuff's already out.
Yeah.
Where I was headed before, Diecast had mentioned Fans Project. There were slides of a project for some Euro figures, some early G2 figures and stuff like that, Turbo Masters and such, I believe. Oh, yeah,
I saw the Rapido.
We originally saw these same slides 2 years ago at Charlotte in 2015. Wow. And it was Fans Project at that point. It has since been
dropped by Fans Project and picked up by Moss Toys.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not expecting to hear a whole lot out of Fans Project. I did hear several complaints about Fans Project, not even during the third-party panel. I'm talking about through the weekend. And it all seemed to be about the same thing that's bothering me is the Lost Exorealm figures, their Dinobots, is the Grimlock's female concubine Dinobots, the Velociraptor, and the Pachycephalosaurus, and no word on a Snarl to complete the original five. I heard several people complaining about that. So, I believe John DeLuna had some things to say as well.
Oh, I do. I do. I've got a couple points. One, like the bigger thing is, like just speaking just real fast about third party in general, I do think like we're at a breaking point where if you're not strategic, you're going to go out of business. So like you can't, for better or worse, like the fun time of third party is over. Like people can't, unless you've got real strong cash flow from like blue chip projects that you know are going to sell really well, it's just over doing like pet projects. You can't do stuff that you personally like or the design team wants to do if you want to continue to survive as a business. Like there's just too much cannibalization going on, too much overlapping projects. That's kind of why I was surprised at the kind of the weird spotty presentation that Mastermind Creations had over the weekend of the DJD stuff, because they showed the pet, but they didn't mention just even a hint of finishing out like the core five members of the team.
Why would you finish anything?
We just lost him.
And we lost John.
In the meantime, though, it's kind of ironic that like the third parties are, you know, probably discovering, you know, why it is Hasbro does what they do in focusing on, you know, the same group of core characters. Well, that's kind of what you do to keep selling stuff. You go with the popular things.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
I'm back. I probably fried my microphone with my my intense internal emotions. Anyway, yeah, like XB was saying to, thanks for picking up my point. Yeah, you got to like run this as a business now, because we're at a breaking point for a lot of these companies. Like you got to string people along, you got to keep them hyped up, which brings me to the third party panel itself. So yeah, it's, here's the deal. Across like the years of Transformers conventions, we have had voice actor panels out the wazoo. Many people have attended those and heard the same stories 10 times. But the presenters and the voice actors don't drag themselves into the room and just kind of feign energy and just put it out there that, oh God, we're doing this for the 10th time. We're going to stop acting like we're having fun. No, that's part of the job is to present with energy and passion. That's the job. Like, are you there to hype up stuff or are you not? And if it's impossible to hype up stuff as is, then yeah, you got to cut slides. You got to rejigger the presentation. You got to do something, because like, is this a hype show or is this not a hype show? You know, we're here to be excited. So get us excited. Now, I do have like a suggestion for this, and that would be to basically blow up this presentation. And instead of having this one master marathon PowerPoint, we are at the point now where these third-party companies individually need to step up and be marketers, grassroots marketers. They need to go to these shows and they need to have panels for their product in separately from this master marathon slideshow. Like at this point, I would expect and I would hope that somebody like Mastermind, Fans Toys, anybody, TFC, anybody who's serious about this stuff would identify TFCon as a place where we need to go and have an hour-long panel. And we need to show our stuff, because nobody's going to get more excited than us about our stuff. And we can show you some behind-the-scenes development slides of your favorite stuff through the years, and kind of like a Hasbro kind of style panel, and you know, an exclusive kind of behind-the-scenes look for people who go to the convention, plus a couple of slides on new stuff that we're working on. And you get people hyped up grassroots style at conventions. That would free up, if two or three companies did that, that would free up that kind of like master third party panel so much. And they wouldn't feel like this kind of pressure, which may be fair, maybe unfair, to be both like hype men for stuff and then also trying to be fair to all the different third party companies that are in that presentation and not make one shine and throw dirt on another or like prioritize one. There's probably kind of like some politics behind that, right? No matter who they are.
The fans and the audience did that for them anyway. It's like there were a couple of people that got cheers and a lot of silence. Nobody cared about 85% of the people or the companies.
Yeah, and it's you know, to some degree, because that is like the one time, the 60, 90 minutes during the entire weekend where they're kind of showcasing this stuff. They kind of have to play all sides. Like they're kind of like referees. And that's not fun. That's not fun for them, and that's not fun for us. So if these the third party companies that are serious about growing or have these established fan bases, I mean, I think it's time now to step up and run your own panels and come out here and hype us up and excite us.
I got a question for you, John.
Yeah. Do I?
Then? Just a quick question. I mean, we've known, you know, we've heard of some, you know, third party people in the past who wanted to keep their, you know, actual identities anonymous as they did this work just because of the, you know, of the nature of what third party is and how it operates. Do you think that the nature of the beast might kind of get in the way of coming to the US and marketing these things? Do you think that could be, you know, a stumbling block that there's just no way around for some of these companies doing the kind of business they are right now?
I think at this point you have to get ambassadors. Like if you don't want to come and do it yourself, then you get you get brand ambassadors, you get company ambassadors, you get people, you get super fans, recruit them, whatever. But you build
a lot of these companies already work with YouTubers who are used to doing presentation in some format. You could easily get three or four of them, like for the like major third party companies, even experimentally, like set up the third party panel itself where. Yeah, some of the smaller companies are represented in the, like the master PowerPoint, but then you also have somebody get to come up there for like 5 minutes and talk about this company's doing this stuff. You know, you have your plotted out blocks where each individual specific presenter gets to come and do their job and kind of change the energy up a little bit.
I'm sure Diecast would be happy to do a fans hobby panel. I'm sure you would.
So some of the third party folks, though, are already there. They'll be sitting at the table of like a retailer that they work with. We'll take this back and we'll think about that for a future toy. Yeah, absolutely. So it's not like they're not there.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I know, or I've heard Keith from KFC goes to these conventions. I wouldn't know him if I bumped into him. I would not know who he is, but I've heard that he does go to these and look around and listen to fans and.
I did talk to one. I'm not sure if he wants to be mentioned, so I'll leave that out. But yeah, I did happen to talk to somebody who is involved in a third party and asking about what projects people want to see, what they're tired of seeing, so on and so forth.
I was hoping to finally meet the team behind Master Shooter, and I didn't. I did get a text message though from somebody associated with Master Shooter, but for whatever reason, I was not able to actually get in contact with them this weekend, and it just broke my heart.
Well, so Brian, that many people working tirelessly to create such product, not all of them could be there, of course.
It's true.
But going back to the main point, like, yeah, even if there are representatives from the companies themselves there, like, it's a good point. You probably wouldn't know most of them to see them, so it would still kind of serve them to have their brand ambassadors, basically the known faces in the fandom, to also be there alongside them to do a lot of the presenting and kind of give that familiar face to it.
Yep. So that was my takeaway that if I made any like business suggestion broadly to these companies, it may be like, look at your release schedule for 2018. And if there's 15 toys on it, ask yourself, would it maybe make more sense if I released 10 or 12 and took that development money for three or five of them and put it into marketing, put it into selling the 10 that I'm going to roll out with and getting people to hype stuff up at shows and just get a little bit more serious. I think we're going to be at that point, I think, pretty soon where marketing and influencing and kind of tooting your own horn. That's kind of where we're at. And by the way, at the TFCon wrap up, I know Don, you had mentioned very respectfully to the TFCon guys that Sunday's schedule was pretty light. And it was, if you weren't going to see Aaron Archer on Sunday, there was effectively nothing to do on Sunday other than go around the dealer room. So splitting up the third-party presentation and giving these individual companies time to shine or speak directly to just their fans, that also makes the weekend beefier as far as scheduling things to do. So it's a win-win-win, I think, for everybody.
Did he mention how popular the Donanomics panel was at Jolanta?
He should have.
So that'll do it for Radio Free Cyber. Oh, wait, you mean we got a whole list of official news to do now?
We have all the news left to do. Okay, so I will power through this. I'll mention the stuff that's the most important and the most relevant. So, we are getting some more Takara Tomy toys. Of course, obviously, we're going to get a Sea Spray and a Twin Twist and a Top Spin. But let me tell you about this Godfire Convoy I got. So,
they die.
Yes.
So, they are reissuing Godfire Convoy. Sounds like a set for 30,000 yen.
It's about $270.
Which is about three times the original combined cost of Super Fire Convoy and God Magnus.
Matt?
I happened to see the original Car Robots versions of both those figures for $70 a piece this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
Loose?
Boxed.
Boxed.
Mint and sealed box.
Okay.
The theory is that the set may come with the
Master Sword,
Brave Maximus Sword,
the Master Sword.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
So that would lend a little bit of value to it,
and that would be worth the other $140.
No. Are there any kind of like deco or molding changes they could make for animation accuracy that would make this worthwhile?
No, because Car Robots was already pretty much as toyetic as you can get in practical sense.
The only thing they could really do to make this set worth money.
Wait, Don, I have a really good one I want to suggest before that. The one thing they could do to make them more accurate is to put crappier looking Autobot symbols on them. Because those looked awful in that cartoon.
You know, sometimes someday I would like toy hacks to make a set of like hand drawn Autobot symbols so they look more like the animation.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think they might have done something like that as a one-off thing for G1 symbols once upon a time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have them.
Okay.
Don, what are you saying?
The only thing they could really do, unless they gave it like a really super premium paint job, which I don't think you could really make that toy look any better by extra paint, because it's a lot of raised surfaces, but there's not a lot of places you could really add highlights to. The only thing they could really do to make that toy worth that money is if they re-released is an encore version of the Toys R Us exclusive Crystal Godfire Convoy set.
Nope.
Unlikely.
I'm saying that set now goes for a significant amount of money because it was a Toys R Us exclusive. So
that's if making they it worth it to it, you, but not them.
No. I'm saying compared to what the current market value is for that set, $500 plus, this would be a good deal if you wanted the crystal set. But again, that's a niche market in a niche market.
Let's look at this realistically. These toys came out by the time they're going to be re-released. They came out 18 years earlier. The economics have changed considerably over that time. These are almost certain to still have the electronics they originally came with, which is in itself a huge part of cost for this, which is why we don't really get mainline Transformers anymore with electronic features. Unless it's a great big one. Even Trypticon didn't because of cost considerations. And that's, your most expensive price point Transformer for the year right there.
Do you imagine these molds needed any kind of repairs?
Exactly. That's another really good point to make, because just like the Car Robot Brothers, the Spy Changers, these were molds that Hasbro ran through over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because they were there, they were available, and they could get easy exclusives out of them. So there is a very good chance they had to either revitalize or even possibly remake parts of the toolings to make these viable again. And, we've seen them do that before when the G1 reissue series started. They had to remake a lot of Optimus Prime, just for one example. They could do that, though, because they knew they would get enough use out of it to make it worthwhile. So, these are toys designed before the economics of toy design changed. They've got features that we don't get included anymore. And, you know, the value of money is just not as high as it was. I can see exactly why the set is 30,000 yen. I would not pay 30,000 yen for these with or without a sword.
No.
But I absolutely understand. My estimate before we got the price, sorry, Don, I'll let you go in just a second. My estimate before we got the price was going to be that it'd be a 25,000 yen set, which even that would have been substantially higher. It would have been substantially higher than the original individual cost of those toys. Don?
It just seems to me that there's got to be a reason, of all the characters in their backlog of molds that they could bring Encore back out with. There's got to be something that would be cheaper for them to do, and they could sell more than Godfire Convoy.
And unless, it wouldn't have that Ultra Magnus in it.
unless, of course, there's going to be something special about this release that we're not seeing as of yet, because I can't see, with eHobby not doing as well because of Fortress Maximus didn't do as well as they had projected when he was released those couple years ago. Something about this set is going to have to be catch us off guard, or be completely unexpected. Otherwise, they could have pulled a dozen other molds out of storage, done it as an encore for less money, and possibly sell more. So I think there's going to be a major surprise in this set beyond just the sword.
The other thing to think of is Takara's reissue series originally started in 2000, right? So that was actually a little bit sooner after the first mold they reissued had been brand new. So that was like 16 years since G1 Optimus Prime came out. So like, it's the right time frame to encore something like Fire Convoy.
Wasn't the Diaclone like 82 or 83?
Yes, I mean, it all works out about the same. It's the same relative time scale is the point, though.
We're old.
Yeah, but I don't think necessarily they could pick another mold from, you know, a similar time frame around 2000 and be able to do what they want to do with it and still have it be more cost effective than this.
Depends on what you mean by cost effective. If they just wanted to do the Autobot Brothers and sell that for, say, God, I don't know.
It'd be 15,000 yen. I'm telling you, if they did those, it would be 15,000 yen.
I was thinking 10, but yeah, 15 is probably more accurate.
Yeah, I just do want to point out that in terms of re-releases of older toys, this 3-to-1 ratio is actually pretty consistent with the things we've been getting for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, Primus was $150. He was originally $50. Big Bad has that, I think it was Year of the Snake Energon Optimus Prime. Its price tracks pretty well with being 3 times the original. Mm-hmm. This is just the reality of making something that big, that heavy, and with electronics at this point.
So is the concern that the fact that there's just no aftermarket for these toys, the original toys, is that the entire concern that we have with this? I think it's too much in general, but when I first heard this, I thought, oh, great. I sold these toys for some reason years ago. I could get them again. I still can for a lot less than what this is going to cost. So,
yeah. And in one sense, this is more comparable to getting a reissue G1 Optimus because, like, Ultra Magnus's chrome doesn't hold up great over time. The rubber tires on the toys have gotten well past the point of falling apart. Like, you can get boxed copies of the Car Robots original releases. They may not all be in the best shape inside those boxes. That's kind of a gamble to take if you're not getting the window package versions. This is expensive, but you will be getting fresh, brand new, pristine copies of them that maybe will have a longer shelf life once you actually start displaying them.
Hopefully, Matt.
But at the same time, didn't they put up a pre-order for a reissue of Fire Convoy 2 or 3 years ago that got canceled due to lack of interest?
We don't really know, because I think Big Bad Toy Store was the only store that actually jumped on that, and we don't know for sure. To the best of my memory, I'll disclaim with that. Best of my memory, we don't know that was an actual thing that was going to happen rather than Big Bad Toy Story just trying to lead the curve on something that looked like it might happen.
Okay.
So, I mean, that is a thing that happened, but we can't be sure exactly if it's the same circumstances. This has been definitely solicited, though.
So, going to the next item, we knew that Hot Rod was an exclusive, Walmart exclusive, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. Doesn't seem necessarily to be the case anymore because it's showing up on Amazon.
Target also has grown a listing since this article was posted last week.
So that's good. Maybe now you can actually get it if you want it.
Well, I still funny can't you should get mention them. That. So right after the Amazon listing went up and people started noticing it, the Walmart listing suddenly came in stock. The exclusive one on Walmart's website, you could suddenly order that. So people were doing that. I don't know if it's still in stock right now.
I've checked everywhere. I missed it.
But our friend Eric Crownover just retweeted one of his friends. Someone just picked up Deluxe Hot Rod with the movie pack that has the two die casts in it. So apparently they are available in some store somewhere. Well,
he says he ordered site to store. So he got it sent to a Walmart while the it was briefly up on the site. So
Okay. Because I just now, when we were talking about Amazon Japan, I was saying they have movie Hot Rod as the deluxe on Amazon Japan for U.S. retail. So I went ahead and got him and Cup with Hot Rod being a little bit less than Hot Rod. Yeah. With movie Hot Rod being less than Legends Hot Rod, it was actually better for me to get the set because it was like 63 shipped and Cup by himself would have been 35. Domestic, so I figured that way I finally get the movie Hot Rod and I get the better Cup.
But the point we're eventually going to reach here is that even if it ends up being a problem to get this from Walmart, because I sure don't see those actual physical stores being able to get anything on the damn shelves anytime soon. Look like this will be available through other channels in the U.S.
Yeah. Not unless there's another PDQ destined for the stores with more products.
Just what they need.
Yeah.
It's going to be filled with nothing but hot rods.
What's a PDQ? Man.
Pretty damn quick.
It stands for basically please display quickly, but where I've always worked in the past, it says please destroy quickly because they get torn up before you can actually use them.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Okay, so next news item, Transformers of the Last Night, 7-net exclusive, Clear Voyager Optimus Prime, plus Japanese Blu-ray release announcement.
7-Eleven's online store.
Ah, thank you. I did not know that.
Oh, good. I need this.
That means I'll never get it then. Cause
I wish it was in the 7-Eleven deco like that Masterpiece Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
This looks like it's got you all over it.
I'll be honest. I do kind of like it.
It's well, just, at BotCon
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
And the good thing about this is it's the Voyager mold. You don't have to worry about paint because there's no paint, or at least very little.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because the clear is your gimmick, but I don't. I mean, this may be available somehow. Because is it possible Amazon might carry this if it classifies it as a DVD like they used to, and then you could ship it with the DVD? But
it's an exclusive though to Amazon store.
Okay,
you would need a middleman. This
would this be Crystal Prime?
Crystal Pepsi Prime. I kind of want this, but I got a feeling this will be like the Family Mart Revenge of the Fallen Prime. It'll take me a couple years to track this thing down for something affordable.
Well, Don, what have you got left to track down, though, that you don't have? Exactly.
Stuff that's not Holy Grails, just stuff I can't find. Because, my Holy Grails are Minerva, Black Shadow, Black Baccarus.
Didn't someone get a Minerva for $8?
That was
M. Cipher at the flea market. He and I always went to, and he got there about 30 minutes before I did and snatched it up.
I've seen it before. It's nice.
Hey, Cipher.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah. So I want this. It's just I doubt maybe Hydra can pick me one up, but he's so busy. I hate to even bother him about this.
It's it's really a shame, but I guess not unusual that the regular retail release of this Voyager is probably the worst way to get it.
Yeah. Heck, I haven't tweeted to 7-Eleven in the U.S. The police carry the 7-Eleven Prime on their website just so we could try to get it.
And what are you doing to my don't eat the cable?
Because, you know, I mean, what harm is there in sitting down and taking 10 minutes to write a nice letter?
Yeah, exactly. So for the three of you that care, Optimus Prime pre-turns. I do not understand that. Oh, pre is in a prequel. That's not that clever. Peter, I'm kidding. Peter Cullen joins the Bumblebee cast. Yay.
Okay, so how does he... Okay, all right, okay.
Don't think about it too hard, Don.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey, but...
It just means Optimus Prime is going to be in the Bumblebee movie.
All it necessarily means is Optimus Prime's voice is going to be in the Bumblebee movie.
Or he'll be a hologram, or he'll be some kind of...
Recorded message.
Okay, because if he's physically in the movie... This timeline is not that great to begin with. And you throw a spanner in like this, you go take the damn doctor to fix everything.
When have these movies ever cared for a second about continuity, Don?
Mm-hmm. Well, I care, and I don't want to see it screwed up because that
you're
messes
in the, you're in the wrong
four movies too late, Donald. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Aren't you used to disappointment by now?
Yes, I am. It's just I can't stand something that obvious happening that doesn't need to happen. It's just I'm not a continuity, you know, police officer, but I like the basics to at least be followed from time to time.
So in the chat, Rob said that Jack wrote that headline. I'm like, I was hoping it was XV. That's the reason I made the little comment because, yeah,
man, no, cares, it's not Peter my Cullen. Style.
Yeah, it's not your style. So Titans Return Deluxe Wave 6 is hitting retail, so you can get your Slug Slinger.
You'll never see it.
Well, stores are actually stocking it in different locations, so there's chances. A lot of the places I've been have not had a whole lot of Titans Return Deluxes in stock, so that kind of helps the odds.
This past weekend, Joey got his at TFCon. What was wrong with it? It had two fists, the wrong fists or something? He got a deal on it. And all these deals people were getting on toys that were missing parts or had the wrong parts really makes me uncomfortable right now, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's like they're BotCon exclusives, but they're not.
during the podcast movie wrap up.
How'd that go? I missed
that. I won granola bars. My number was drawn two numbers after the guy that got the twin twist.
Were you not on the panel?
No, I wasn't on the panel.
Matt, you were there though, right?
Not on the panel, but yes, I was there.
Okay, yeah.
But they had a raffle, and one of the prizes was a twin twist. Vangelis found in Canada with two right fists.
Nice.
So the guy whose number got drawn before me actually won it, and then I won the granola bars.
Nice. Let's see here. But yeah, it's a little disconcerting. All the
Why don't we skip the next two things for brevity here and jump down to the TIE Fighter.
Man, I wanted to mention the Transformers Authentics because I don't think we've really talked. I've talked about it quite a bit during the RSC Daily Transformers News Update, but I just want to get that out there. So we mentioned this briefly, I think, last week that a lot of people have been misattributing a lot of these leaks to Cyberverse, but it seems like it's more likely the Transformers Authentics line, which is a line that Hasbro. That was leaked. Did Hasbro finally confirm that was coming out?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I think it's what's going to replace Cyberverse. It's Cyberverse. It's just a different name for Cyberverse.
I think it might replace Cyber Battalion and Commander or complement those. But in terms of, you know, how it connects to Cyberverse, the next TV show, I'm increasingly sure it doesn't.
So
yeah, because if you think about it, Cyber Battalion was made for markets outside the U.S. where it's generally perceived, you know, you need more economical solutions. Well, guess what point we're getting to here? So we're getting some of the Cyber Battalion stuff in Walgreens, kind of, I think, as a placeholder.
Yeah,
and then we're going to get this developed for our market.
Yeah, but it's $17 for
those
at Walgreens.
That's because Walgreens.
So yes. These have been leaking through the group TFCN, which I think is honestly just a front for that Transformers Insider who used to post to the internet a lot. Patrick Stewart, I think, was his name. I think it's him.
What, Soupsy? Soupsy or Supsy?
No, Spooky.
Yeah, that was yes, you're confusing people. You're confusing Daniel Sue and Spooky. But I'm talking about Patrick Stewart, who is like a real Transformers insider. Just getting that out there. But it looks like Authentics is getting a Starscream. Big surprise.
Yeah, this is the Starscream we saw a couple of weeks ago, but this
we talked about this last week.
Yeah, this little image does at least confirm that yes, it is a Transformers Authentics figure. And even though there's no official word as to whether or not that connects to Cyberverse or not, my current guess is still no.
Yeah. Although just based on what they're doing with the unified designs, Cyberverse could end up looking very similar, even if the toys are more complex.
Yeah. I mean, that there's still a chance, I think. I think Cyberverse could possibly just be a, branding name to separate the, cartoon from G1. And this could be like the line to, replace RID. But I'm just not thinking so. I'm thinking this is its own thing.
So
maybe we'll find out tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Maybe. So Star Wars Transformers Strikes Back to Kartomi to re-release the Darth Vader TIE Fighter in March. And I never bought a single one of these.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this is not a re-release.
Is this new?
This is new.
XV and I have not been agreeing on this one. Having seen some pictures of the original, any parts reused, I'm thinking it's maybe a few joints because no other specific part of the thing's anatomy seems to match the original mold exactly.
Yeah, the one part of this we do agree on is that at the minimum there is a huge amount of remodeling done versus the original that came out in 2005.
Yeah.
And it needed it.
Yeah, if anything, you're looking at a Sandstorm and Springer kind of situation because before I got completely burned out,
Sandstorm and Springer was pre-planned to be used. I mean, done the way it was. So
right, but I'm also saying there's that level of remodeling going on.
Maybe a more apt analogy here would be Combiner Wars Ultra Magnus to Super Jinrai.
Okay, all right, that's fair. Cool. Yeah, that's fair. It's just before I got so burned out on Star Wars, I have most all the Star Wars Transformers. And this is definitely not the original mold because I have that in a box, and it didn't look this good even in these pictures.
So this is going to be about 6,000 yen. So if this were to be released here, we could expect it to be at about a $30 price point. And they've shown concept art for a Millennium Falcon to presumably follow this up.
So
I have the Millennium Falcon, and it is one of the best pieces of the line.
Is it still in one piece?
Yes. Chewbacca, I have not transformed it in a very long time because the Chewbacca does suffer from basically brown plastic syndrome. There's enough gold plastic in there mixed in. So he is that half of the Millennium Falcon does turn brittle, but
I heard with this release they're going to replace Chewbacca with Chewbacca Mom.
That's the Hascon 2018 exclusive.
Nice.
Yeah.
So having bought none of these, I wanted to quickly check to see how much that Death Star is going for, and there is no aftermarket value on that thing at all.
I'm not surprised. I found most of one at a Goodwill. Sadly, it is not missing panels in the right pattern to pass as a Return to the Jedi Death Star.
Yeah, like
apparently that was one of the concept art pitches for that Death Star figure to be in the incomplete Return to the Jedi form.
That would have been neat.
Yeah, I might get this. It's not that bad. And it's cheap. Okay.
It is not cheap. It is 6,000 yen.
Well, no. I'm talking about the Death Star that I'm looking at right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that's not cheap.
I want to see better pictures of this new TIE Fighter. I am almost certain to not buy one at the Japanese cost, but I want to see how they've re-engineered this.
It just so happens right here in my hands, I have the TIE Bomber.
Huh.
Do what?
Kilby was saying nice, and I was saying they all look nice in vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
you know, they, again, like everything else, they got better towards the end. But, you know, of course, the vehicle mode for Star Wars was given preference over the mech mode. But there's that.
There's, you know, we, a lot of people have talked about it, and we're just assuming that it was Lucasfilm's preference that we did not get what would have been the best possible thing, which would have been Transformers characters as Star Wars vehicles.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, that discussion was big in the mid-2000s when Star Wars Transformers, when we first learned about that, and now I'm seeing again since this has been revealed that we're basically going back to the same conversation. Let's just have this be depicting the universe where Transformers took place in the Star Wars universe.
That would have been so much better. So much better. So, moving along, STF-01. STF, nice. Step over toe hold, isn't it?
Face lock.
Thank you. Firage. Unofficial Mirage. From Dark of the Moon. Yeah, that's certainly a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, if you have a movie shelf, this is a figure that definitely is needed to fill in a movie shelf because
wouldn't say that.
There was never a toy released of this that was designed as this character. There was a re-release of, I think, Prime Cyberverse Knockout as this. But that's the extent of it. There is licensing problems, apparently.
I'm just saying he wasn't in the movie that much that you're like, oh, I need that character. Someone's going to look at your shelf and be like, where's your Dino?
I routinely forget this character exists, but I have to admit this is a very, very pretty thing.
Definitely.
And neither were the Dinobots, and they were made, so.
Well, so, he's got you there, Diecast.
That's true. That's something.
Because, you know, Strafe and Snarl and Slash especially were just such big players in The Last Knight.
Oh, God.
Were they in the movie?
They're like Snarl in the animated movie. If you freeze frame it, you can probably find them in the background.
Hey, Matt, is this next thing the thing we saw at TFCon?
Uh-huh.
That we tried to get Diecast attention for? X2 Toys Sky Crusher first look at the color images of their not Jetfire figure. It's so creepy looking.
Yeah, I'm not excited anymore.
It doesn't have a face. The face and the eyes
are weird.
Optimus took it.
Optimus Prime took it. Yeah.
I wish Optimus Prime would stop stealing the faces of good characters.
It's interesting to me that, like, right after Diecast immolates Kronos, we get a replacement for it.
So, yeah, this is, do we have any info on it? Do we know anything about this?
Yeah, it's $110.
I'm not buying it.
And it's a headmaster.
Why is it a headmaster, and why does the headmaster not have a face?
That's the part, I like that they made it a headmaster, because I love the Titans Return line.
Oh yeah, I don't mind that. I'm just kind of curious about the decision to, you know, with a very Skyfire body type and helmet there, to not give it a Skyfire face. It kind of looks like a wires got crossed.
That's the thing I don't understand.
A year or so ago, X2 Toys posted on Weibo a bunch of like prototype and concept pieces, a lot of which was themed around Titans Return. This may be the one thing, which I don't think there was a concept release of this back then. This may be the one thing from that initiative that actually made it as far as being a, you know, product for release.
And it could be possible this is maybe like a battle mask or kind of thing, and there's a regular face available.
Maybe.
I mean, I'd hope so.
So I'm glad Diecast Destroying Kronos got mentioned, because I wanted to talk about that. And actually, if you're watching this on the Roku version, I'm going to show a little bit of the video. Yes. So, Diecast, you finally really did it.
I did it. You deserved it.
You've been given a lot of praise and a lot of blame for this. I definitely am leaning toward the praise, because I think it's amazing that you did it and that you finally went through with it.
Yeah, I was surprised I got as much hate for it as I did. I mean,
some people said, well, why didn't you give it to a kid? Because you don't hate children, one. And two, it's not
a toy. We don't know that he doesn't hate children.
He has a son.
I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
He has a
son.
Doesn't
prove anything. That would just make him more likely to hate children.
So you couldn't donate it to a kid.
Yeah.
it wasn't worth your effort to sell because it doesn't go for that much. That's my argument. That's not yours. But if it were me, I wouldn't go through the effort of selling it for what little it sells for.
Yeah, my reason is just because I think that mold, there's not a deep, you know, it has problems. I mean, let's face it. So I wouldn't even feel right selling it.
I'd be afraid I'd get negative feedback from people complaining about the toy just being the toy.
Yeah. That
you could also get sued. I mean,
potentially. So I think destroying it was the best path to take. Now, let me say this. So Diecast sent me the video and he's like, here, edit this. And I had to edit out his neighbor. His neighbor was just hanging out. Like, yeah, that thing's not burning like I thought it was going to burn. Huh? What about that? That's weird. So, and like, I had to edit out, just.
You make him sound like a fast talking happy day.
Yes, that's kind of what it was. There was more of the thing not burning than made the video. It took him forever to get that lit up. It just did not want to burn. I would have probably used gasoline or diesel. I know some people said it was just crazy to use anything because it could have killed you. My dad was a pyromaniac, so I have a lot of experience burning stuff.
I mean, I sprayed lighter fluid on it, but I doused the thing in lighter fluid. I thought it would have went right
it
up.
It should have.
I don't set things on fire normally. So.
So here's the thing about lighter fluid. It evaporates kind of fast. Like, comparatively speaking among accelerants, it evaporates kind of fast.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's why diesel would probably be a little bit better. That stuff sticks more.
Yeah, but it's also, I would say diesel is more dangerous in that respect.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just saying, if we're talking about just, like, effectiveness for the task at hand.
But so the video is about 2 minutes long. It actually burned for more like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
So it took a while.
I think what you probably needed to do is treat this like a barbecue, where you needed to get coals and start them first, and then you add Kronos to it. Put it in an existing fire rather than try to start one on Kronos directly.
I think I like the look of how it actually happened. It just took more work than it should have.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I think it came out right. I think he made the right decision because it looks phenomenal. God, especially when the last time he's spraying the lighter fluid on it, and the flame is just orange and huge. It's a thing of beauty. God, I'm my father. God, I've turned into my father. Okay.
My sister's ex-husband used to barbecue pork steaks by starting a charcoal barbecue, getting the fire going, putting the steaks on, and then blasting it with more lighter fluid while the food was on there.
That's amazing.
It certainly made interesting tasting steaks.
Yeah.
So if you want to get your own Kronos, does Amazon have Kronos? Probably not.
No.
I should probably check Amazon.com.
It gets sued.
Yeah, probably. Hey, but if you want to get like Transformers that won't get you sued, you can get all sorts of stuff there. It's pretty phenomenal. TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Carry good toys.
Good toys, food, toiletries. You can get services. You get the Amazon Echo. It's great. TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Or, just sign up for Amazon Prime.
TFRadio.net/Prime. So the con crud is really kicking in right now as I'm trying to do the Amazon plug. So, Don, I'm gonna just jump to this. Don, what's going on the network this week?
Play all right, Don.
On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, Who Mourns for Adonis? Beware of spoilers for the third episode of Star Trek Discovery. We also talk about the latest episode of The Orville in a bit less specific detail, then move on to our That One Episode of the Week, Who Mourns for Adonis, Season 2 of the original series. Being Awesome with Rob Springer, Episode 120, Scary Dairy. This week in Awesome, Rob talks about some of his recent Halloween-related purchases, and Q&A wants to know about gimmicks going forward in Generations. Answer, Dog Pound Match.
I think it's a wrestling thing. I actually haven't had a chance to listen to the new episode yet. I just posted it for him.
How was your weekend, episode 19? There's no business like show business. On this episode, Wendy and Brian welcome Heather back to the show. This week, they're talking about movies. There's no business like show business. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 22. Player versus Player Arena, Gladiatorial Combat. Dungeons and Dragons, 5th edition. This week, Dusty, Brian, and Mike talk P versus P. Afraid of player versus player combat at your table? So were we. So we decided to just go for it. Here's what they learned.
So, Brian, I've been meaning to ask you. A little while back, you made a big deal about how you renamed How Was Your Weekend?
Yeah,
I noticed the last couple of weeks it's been back to How Was Your Weekend. What's the deal there?
Our buddy Sean gave us the idea for How Was Your Weekend, and it just never felt natural to me saying it. I'll say, hey, Wendy, how was your weekend? And Wendy's like, how was your weekend? I'm like, no, just how was your weekend? So I'm just going to stick with it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the old ways are the best ways sometimes. Speaking of Diecast, what's on RFC Reviews this week?
RFC Reviews, we took a little hiatus just because of TFCon, but
But you do have something up, don't you?
I did put up Make Toys Meteor, which is the old Howling Meteor, which is G1 Starscream.
Sweet, and I need to get that on the site, but I was sick yesterday.
I really liked the aesthetics of Meteor. Like, they did a really good job capturing the cartoon design look of it while still making it look like, you know, a decently designed toy. So I'm actually really impressed with how that part of it came out.
Yeah, and the jet mode is pretty nice, too. I mean, it doesn't have rolling wheels or anything like that if you're into, like, you know, that sort of thing. But in a display, I don't really need that, so.
Mm-hmm. So in the chat, I'm going to butcher the name, Thrumnal. Sold the Kronos and lost $30 on it. But it was worth it because the toy is terrible.
Yeah, but he probably sold that close to probably before Phoenix came out.
Because I'm certain.
Once Phoenix came out, the price of Kronos just dropped.
So whenever I do end up getting rid of my KFC, whatever the Delta Magnus is called.
Delta Magnus. Yeah.
Die Stack.
I'm not going to burn it. I may not even sell it.
Wood chipper?
No, I'll probably just end up giving it away as a contest fodder or something.
I tried to sell that, and I could not sell it.
Yeah, it's...
Die Stack or Kronos?
Die Stack.
I've got the box in the attic. I've got to get the boxes for some stuff. That's probably one I'll just throw up as... Follow me and retweet.
You sure you don't want to give the wood chipper another consideration?
I would have to buy a wood chipper.
You could rent one.
The sharp edges on Die Stack may damage the wood chipper.
That's true, Don.
and I'm saying this as someone
you love
who
that
bought.
Toy.
When I bought the Ultra Magnus, I was you know, Citizen Stack. I was not planning on spending the money for Ultra Magnus, and I wound up getting a good deal. So granted, I have not touched Citizen Stack in a while. I don't think the toy is that bad. It's not Masterpiece.
But you also
Magnus.
Like Kronos.
No, I'm not going back into that. But
you know, Brian, if it has sharp edges, you might want to make sure you get like proof of age and get a waiver signed before you give it away.
I will need an ID before I can actually give it away.
Oh, I know. get a rock tumbler and throw it in there and round all the edges down.
That'd be a big rock tumbler.
Yeah,
they make them.
Yeah, or I could just take some sandpaper to it.
That would take a lot longer and be a lot less of a spectacle.
Belt sander?
The sandpaper would be much quicker than a rock tumbler.
More effort.
No. Yeah. I could do that in like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's 15 minutes. You'd have to be continuously sanding it as opposed to just chucking it in a rock tumbler.
And waiting 2 weeks for it to come out all shiny.
It was a big...
Think of all the things you could do during those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Does Harbor Freight Tools sell a rock tumbler?
Webcam on it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I would buy one.
They do sell liquid electrical tape, which is, you know, just a nice rubber coating. You could just like safety coat all the sharp edges.
I bought some of that Plasti Dip a couple weeks ago for a project I was working on.
Do you have a Rhino lining place around you?
Yeah, somewhere.
Just take it and see if you can pay them to coat Die Stack and Rhino lining.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay, Chris, just remember, it was a big rock tumbler.
Nice. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and I think that's it for the... Oh, gosh, this was nearly 2 hours.
2 hours later.
Nearly 2 hours later. You can find this episode, all 1 hour and 50 minutes of it, tfradio.net/539. leave us a voicemail or send us a text, 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. I actually think now I'm going to get a vanity number for the Happy Day podcast because Kim suggested that. And I'm like, oh, God, I have to. So,
One more thing I need to plug before we leave. I want to thank Toy Hacks. They provided me a sticker kit for the Voyager Optimus Prime and two little guns to make it. Don, you knew what it was. What is it? The Optimus Prime to make
good plug, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm gonna do a review on it. I'm gonna sticker up the figure and review it for Toy Hacks.
One more time, Diecast, because I have no idea what you were shooting.
Something about Voyager Optimus and a Toy Hack set and some guns.
Yeah, it's a Toy Hack sticker set and it's some armor.
Oh, is it to make the Titans Return Optimus into Action Master?
Yes.
Okay. Ah, cool. Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm
going to do that. And that looks
like... right to me when I started talking through it myself.
Yeah. So I was talking to someone about it. I thought it was Don.
It was, but I couldn't get what you were going for with that kind of description.
All right. I'm tired. Like I said, I feel like I've been away from TFCon for like 2 hours because ever since I got home, I've just been so busy doing stuff.
But yeah, so ToyX set you up with a sticker sheet and the guns for Titans Return Optimus to convert it to an Action Master Optimus, and you're going to do a video of that process.
Yes.
Nice. It's the plug you're trying to make.
Yes.
Thank you, ToyX.
ToyX. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And I also got a new sticker. Autobot sticker for my car because the last one I put on, I thought it was center and it's slightly off center. So now I got to peel that off and
stick. Yeah. Wonderful. 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268.
All right. That's what we're doing.
Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And we are on Instagram at TF Podcast. If you go to Twitter.com/TF Radio and you're following us and Massey just attacked Don and Don did not make it sound.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No. Okay.
Don, this is just going to get worse because you're starting to feed him less. So he's going to be hungrier.
Retweet the pinned tweet that we have, which is the, retweet and follow for a chance to win Titans Return RC. You could win Titans Return RC.
When are we announcing the winner?
Autographed by Don, which we'll announce next week. And Don may lose his hand, so he cannot autograph anything else, potentially.
Matthew's going to make sure that's one of a kind.
Yep.
So follow us on Twitter, retweet the pinned tweet, and just follow along. I am on Twitter at BKilby, and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV.
Matt. I'm going to be posting some more stuff on T-Formers coming up pretty soon, too, like photos and stuff. So be sure to check out over there.
Awesome. Matt is on Twitter at M-E-L-L-L-V-A-R-R, 3 L's, 2 R's.
And I just want to give a shout out and a thank you to all the organizers and volunteers at TFCon. They did a great job. It was a great show, and I can't wait to go again next year.
Yeah, as long as it's not in Chicago, I will definitely be there.
Yeah.
And even if it's in Chicago, I give it a 60% chance.
And I want to give a shout out to the hotel staff because a lot of the times when you go at the convention rate in the convention, sometimes I've noticed through the years you don't get the better service because you're the convention rate. You know, I've noticed this. And the staff really went out of the way to be helpful and friendly.
I think that's because it chewed on.
So I'm just saying the Hyatt was a great room. It was a great hotel, great staff. And I really appreciate the staff of the Hyatt Reston.
Cool. Yeah, I like the hotel a lot. I don't have any complaints about the hotel now that I think of it, except for, there is one major complaint. The free Wi-Fi is probably the worst free Wi-Fi that I've had this decade.
Yeah, it seems like the more upscale of a hotel you go to, the worse the free internet is.
It was terrible. And I paid on Sunday because I wanted to Saturday night. I paid for the premium internet and it was nearly as bad. In fact, I think it was just as bad. So I kind of feel ripped off.
That's just
I just wish the free parking that was at all the other parking decks in the area applied to the one we were at attached to the hotel, but it didn't. We got a discounted rate, but all the other parking decks in the area were free on the weekends just not the one connected to the hotel. So that was kind of a bummer. Yeah.
And the cell reception was the worst cell reception that I've had. The reception necessarily wasn't that bad because it said I had like 5 bars. But my actual bandwidth, apparently because everybody on Verizon was using their Verizon to access internet instead of hotel Wi-Fi. Terrible.
Yeah, you had 5 bars, but did you actually have like your 4G?
It was 5 bars of 4G, but I'm certain the network was congested.
Probably.
I just want to bring up that you started this conversation with, I have no complaints about the hotel.
Yeah, and I said except for.
Yeah, then you went for except for, and then there was, oh yeah, and another thing.
Okay, so like,
it's all internet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he doesn't have complaints about the hotel, like the structure, the service itself. He has complaints about, you know, some of the utilities. And yeah, also, coincidentally, the cell phone reception in the immediate area, which is not the hotel's fault.
Yeah, not the hotel's fault.
Except for living there.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, didn't you buy a T-Mobile hotspot a while back?
Yeah, I did. I didn't bring it. It wouldn't have been any better. But I failed to bring it. I should have done that.
Went to Walmart and bought a new one.
Yeah, the Panera Bread was awesome.
Yeah.
I ate breakfast there every morning.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a much better deal than using the hotel buffet. I had breakfast with Alex and his brother, Eddie, Sunday morning. And, you know, I'm used to spending money on hotel breakfast. And it's expensive, but I'm used to paying it. It's usually better than that. It was okay. But Panera, awesome for breakfast.
If they do put TFCon Chicago again, I've got to try to go just so I can eat some Portillo's again.
Yes, and Giordano's.
Giordano's.
You know what? Well, I actually enjoyed the Portillo's more than the Giordano's.
I don't care. I want both. But the food was fantastic in the area at the Rest in Town Center. Vapiano's was wonderful. That was my favorite.
Which one, was that the place? Was that the place we went Saturday, or was that the place that you guys went before I got there?
That was the place we went and got all the thin crust pizza.
Oh, that was Saturday. It was pretty good. I don't remember specifically. The bakery nearby was phenomenal.
Hmm.
Yeah, the
cupcakes, Velvet.
So Kim went to a different place and she got one that was a cheesecake cupcake that was absurd. It was delicious. And of course, Cheerwine. Did you take the remaining Cheerwine home, Matt? Awesome.
Hey, that was full.
Why do you think I always let you take my room to put the RFC stuff in?
Because
that's where the Cheerwine went up.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm sorry. You're doing the Twitter handles?
Yeah, Diecast. How do people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2, on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. I'm different everywhere because I'm difficult.
Don?
You know who's not different everywhere?
John, that at John D. everywhere.
At that John D.
Everywhere. Don?
Yeah. I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
Cool. Rob?
And only in one place.
Yes.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs. I am on YouTube at Flailthroughs. We are continuing our playthrough of Gundam Breaker 3 at the moment. And, of course, any video content XV and I make for T-Formers can be seen on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
And, John, again, you are at that John D, right?
Everywhere.
So there's no exceptions?
Everywhere you want to be?
I don't think so. I think MySpace, it's something different, but I haven't been there in a while.
Is that still around?
What about your LiveJournal account?
Did you have LiveJournal? See, two places. I may be sleeping at the wheel here on LiveJournal and
I don't remember
MySpace.
You having LiveJournal, John. Did you?
Alta Vista. I probably have an account.
Was it your MySpace where your profile picture was just your back, your muscular back?
My roided back.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Like, look at my traps, ladies.
Oh, the memories.
Oh, the memories of picking up girls on MySpace. What? Show's
so,
over.
I'm just trying to make it to go like an extra minute so I can say we went 2 hours.
Yeah, well, we're almost there.
Actually, technically, once I edit the show, it's going to be less than 2 hours. So it doesn't matter. We'll see you
well,
tomorrow.
Crap.
Actually, we won't see you tomorrow. We'll see you next
Why?
Week.
Why? We didn't do any major offending things that have to be edited out.
I do a lot of post-production, and I trim a lot of, like, unnecessary...
Well,
like
remember,
this right here.
you're going to add the
intro and outro.
Diecast Burning Chronos video in.
Too, yeah, so. It's going to be an overlay.
Yeah.
And this is a nice waste of time right now. So.
Indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
we're just trying to keep it to 2 hours.
There's nothing better to pad out a podcast than talking about the technical aspects of producing that podcast.
I'm whistling now just to kill time. So close. So close.
I just realized I can put Transformers on my mic.
Oh, let me try that.
Pretty cool.
This does nothing for the listeners, but people watching the video can at least see it.
Yeah, it depends how hard you set it down on your mic arm.
Okay, good idea.
Because then it could do something for the listener. There you go.
There you go. People listening can hear that. It doesn't work for me. We'll see you next time. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.